Declarations of War podcast, hosted by the NAR Mercenary Corporation. This is episode 11. Tonight we have three new hosts who will introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Katniss. I've been in NAR close to 5 months now. I'm a former pirate / 00 resident that ended up wanting to do mercenary work. After much research, I realized NAR and Repo were my two quote-unquote well-known options. I also found out in the process that Repo really sucked overall, so here I am.
And I'm Alan Turek from AmeriLifeInAShortOne.blogspot.com. I've been in Noir for 6 months. I'm a former pirate and a Care Bearer. You may remember me from such corps as the Bastards and that Care Bearer corp that we absolutely murdered yesterday.
Oh, hi. I'm Sorakage. Been in this merry band of paid killers for about 2 months now, after joining via the now dead but soon to be resurrected NAR Academy.
And of course, I am Alexei Evkard, CEO and contract manager of NAR Mercenary Corporation. So, we got a few shout-outs. First of all, I'd like to shout-out to Quivering Palm and Luminous Artikai. They run the Planet Risk Show over at SI Radio. And there's some stories about them a little bit later, but needless to say, fantastic meeting those guys again and waving hi right now.
And I'd like to give a shout-out to Minxie. We tried to get her on as a guest host for this podcast, but it was a little bit late notice, and she had to decline, but we're going to get her on next time.
Shout-out to Wash and all my old UTA buddies. Welcome back, you guys, and I hope you're raising hell out in Syndicate.
And I'd like to give a second shout-out to Wheelbarrow. He's a AAA's mercenary liaison, and he did a hell of a job working with us over in Providence, and it was really a pleasure to work with him. It was probably one of the best interactions I've ever had with an employer, so I wanted to give him credit for all his hard work on that. Next up, contract wrap-up. We've had quite a few contracts since the last podcast because it's been a hell of a wait, and again, we're sorry for that. We're going to be trying to get back on a more regular podcasting schedule. Don't know if we're actually going to be able to pull that off. We'll try. But there are six really standout ones that we're going to be talking about. And apologize for the length of this podcast ahead of time, but hey, there's a lot to cover. So the first thing is first, corporation called No Mercy. These guys are a former faction warfare corporation. We are hired to basically do a little Empire deck, a little low sec work against them, but mostly Empire stuff. And hoo boy, they're pretty good. They're probably the toughest opponents we've had in a year or 2 years. And we actually, this was the first time we ever had a second corporation in the alliance, Divine Retribution. And as an alliance, we didn't really do too well against them. It was like 48% efficiency. And then you know, our personal corp stats are okay, but the actual official stats should be on our alliance kill board, which is www.noir.pinacoderm.com/alliancekb. Pretty good contract, a lot of remote rip battleship work. Not very target rich, they weren't a big corporation, so we didn't see a whole lot of them. But it was a good time. We only got 20 kills the whole week, but they were hard kills, well fought kills. I don't know if you guys want to say anything about it.
I chased these guys for a while, and I just could not find a single one of them to kill. And I think we chased a few of them around, actually out in space, and they were just impossible to pin down. These guys flew well. That's all I can say about them.
They also flew together. They always fought together. If you found one, the others were close by. You never engaged alone.
Yeah. In fact, I was talking to one of them after they had been station camping me for a while, and the tables had turned, and now I was station camping him, trying to get him to come out and fight my Hamdrake. And eventually, I convoed him. I was like, "Yo, man, come on out. It's just you and me here. Like, I literally have nobody with me. Let's just go." And he's like, "Nah, my CEO is gonna get on my ass." So apparently, their CEO, Garst Tyrell, and another gentleman's club. So he's working with them now. But Garst was really, really strict about them doing the stupid things that normally get, you know, just hundreds of kills for us over the course of our time here in Mercenary World. Just people undocking without looking, or taking fights they shouldn't take, not scouting
around.
You mean
thousands, maybe.
Yeah, at the end, could be.
We almost had an epic showdown with them when we chased them down and camped them in the station with battleships versus battleships, but they slowly trickled in with an alt, with a friendly, neutral battleships and pods. So the tables turned and then we had to be camped in.
Yeah, the story behind that was we had a roaming gang there scouted, and they were coming up a different pipe than they left with. So we positioned ourselves to be between them and their headquarters. And we ran into them, we caught them, but they managed to make the gate, and on the other side they bolted to the station. So we moved our gang to the station, started camping them. And they had one guy who had dropped corp the previous day. Over the course of, it must have been 2 hours, just ferrying in battleship after battleship, and then moving pods of new players that logged on in to pick the battleships up. And then once they outnumbered us again, they all undocked en masse. And we had to run away because we were way outgunned.
Or isn't there a neutral guardian hanging around?
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty amusing. I'd never seen anybody try that before.
It was also annoying.
Next up, we had a POS takedown against Shadowvale Industrial. And it was working out well, got started, no problems. And then all of a sudden, Dead Terrorist decided to hot drop us and cost us 3 out of 4 of our dreads, which was not cool. Also killed a fair number of battleships, so we took some serious losses, but we managed to turn it around in that we reshipped, came back, finished off the POS after Dead Terrorist left, and then killed it after it came out of Reinforced. So, good job, Dead Terrorist.
Don't forget about your epic pod killing at Dread.
Oh, yes. So, some guy who owned the tower, I guess, was writing an email to me. I only realized this because I got it afterwards. Writing an email about why I was attacking their tower and if there was anything he could do to bring about a peaceful resolution. While he was apparently writing this, I was sitting in my dreadnought, locking him ever so slowly with radio crystals loaded into my beam lasers. And once I locked him, I sniped him with a dreadnought in siege at 206, I think it was. 206 kilometers. Pretty damn epic. It's my favorite pod kill. So, Kat, would you like to take the next one?
So next up was the NCOMP training. Basically, we took out a corp by the name of Non-Compensating Incorporated and roam around Great Wildlands, teaching them how to roam around 00 and camp some gates, have some fun, proper way of doing things overall. I really, really, really enjoyed this contract. We're with the corp that was eager to learn. You know, they were willing to take losses. They were a great group of people, in my opinion.
Yeah, I enjoyed that time with them. I was trying not to FC as much as possible to kind of encourage other people to do it.
You banned all the directors from it.
Yeah, I had an official FC ban, which is kind of funny, but the non-compensating CEO was like, "No, I want your best FCs." So that only held for about a week. But it was nice. We had a week-long training, we got an extension, took people out, it was fun for the most part. A little dry on targets at times. Great Wildlands didn't have as big of a population as I'd hoped.
We did catch an orc one.
That kind of leads into our next... Actually, you know what? Before we go on the next one, talk about that Rorqual kill, because I wasn't there for that.
Well, there was an epic battle with another alliance going on somewhere nearby, and on the node our system was in was lagging badly. We were heading back to base and our FC had to relog. So he was lagging behind two systems from us. So he accidentally scanned the system with his directional and found the Kestrel hanged by a little. The Kestrel flared the Sino and then a Rorqual jumped in. He couldn't believe his eyes. He jumped there and the Rorqual cloaked.
Yeah, and it was like not at a pass, not at a station, just in mid-space.
In the middle of nowhere. So we all came in and started flying around trying to catch it. We got lucky and there we have a dead Rorqual.
Oh, that's great.
He signed in a Rorqual with enemies in system. He was really pro.
Okay, and this sort of segues into our next one, the Outlands Mining and Manufacturing POS save, because it went on during the training. So I asked permission from the NCOMP CEO to, because I didn't want to, it was pretty far away from where we were, so I didn't want to be like, oh, sorry, we're going to abandon you for a couple hours while we go do this other thing. So I invited him to come along with both employers' permissions, and they were like, yeah, sure. So the NCOMP guys brought like a couple rifters and a cruiser, and their CEO brought a carrier, which was cool. And basically what the situation was, there was a industrial tower with labs and stuff that had been reinforced before the owners could pull their BPOs out of the labs. So there was like some really expensive stuff, like fully researched Drake PPO, and I think there were some capture blueprints in there too. And they were unwilling to let these people who had been harassing them for quite a while take their stuff, so they hired us. So we waited a couple systems out, about six systems out with the subcap gang. We had the carriers ready to go. I think we had four carriers in total. And we just waited. It came out, nothing. Then local spike, but it wasn't the people we expected. It was them and friends. So we ran into our old buddies, Chains of Chaos. That was former targets from quite a while ago. And it was pretty much was on. They warped to the tower. Started shooting. We moved the subcap gang in. Surprisingly, they didn't leave. Not initially, at least. Once the full amount of our gang landed, they started warping out, but by then we had already tackled a carrier. So they're putting a herd on this carrier, and then they all warp back onto us and start really fighting. They popped the Sino, put in a few cap ships. We popped our Sino, brought in our cap ships. And basically had a knockdown, drag-out, excellent fight. It was amazing to be a part of. And then about, I would say half an hour, 35 minutes into the fighting, they popped a second Sino and brought in even more support. And the guys that we had killed from earlier brought back new ships. At this point, we were pretty outnumbered. And, we were definitely tired. And we got word from Invicta that they had gotten word that the guys we were hitting were calling anywhere and everywhere they could to get more reinforcements. So we were like, well, hey, Invicta, what are you guys doing right now? Nothing. Okay. So we invited them to the gang, and then about 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes after the enemy's initial second drop, we dropped Invicta on them. And I think we had another carrier in there that had just logged on, Dark Linda. And then we basically finished him off. We didn't get as many of the capital ships as we wanted, but it was pretty good. It could have gone badly if we didn't get that second support from Invicta, but we had won the initial fight. It was just a great constant escalation. I'd certainly never been a part of that before in EVE. So then we finished out our NCOMP training thing, and a follow-up to that, unfortunately, I found out that they have disbanded and they merged with another corp, like the corp members, and the rest of them scattered to the winds. No clue what they're doing now, but shout-outs to them wherever they're at. So, Sora, talk about our Providence contract.
Well, this is actually our second contract in Providence, though I wasn't here for the first one, so I can't exactly compare. But we had a reputation in Providence for being really troublesome for them, so we were quite feared. But I don't know if they were exactly aware of how dangerous we are, because they kept missioning and ratting all the time, even though they knew we had alts and even noir people in system. They kept missioning. We even saw nightmares missioning our capitals doing plexes. We nearly caught both of them, but they were really tricky and stabbed. Once we even brought a AAA fleet to kill a capital, we warped in, got points. Well, actually only one, the initial one before everybody else got in, and he warped out. That was a really sad moment. Another quite interesting engagement was after we killed a few people in the constellation, the pipe system leading out was getting camped by even more and more CVA people. At the point it got with over 100 CVA camping this system, so we called in AAA. They came in over 15 jumps or 20, and a very interesting and quite fulfilling battle happened in 2v system on the AY gate. They kind of totally got raped. All there were no losses for CVA, only for AAA, only for CVA, and sadly two friendly fire.
War Child lost a 500 mil rapier to a blue vagabond. Oops.
And the Manticore died for some reason.
Yeah. I think it was the same guy that shot him.
Yeah, he shot both of them. Oh, malfunctioning overview, he says. Whatever.
So a little background for this for people who haven't been following what's been going on in Providence. CVA and Holland's going to be talking about it in depth later, but there was an altercation between CVA and AAA. AAA hired Noir to do sort of behind-the-lines harassment, sort of open up a two-front war for CVA while they were fighting in southern Providence. We would open things up in the north and sort of in the deeper pockets away from the front lines. And boy, did we. It broke our single-week damage record, and it broke our single-week kill record. And overall, for 2.5 weeks, a total of 2 contract extensions after the initial week, our total damage was over 43 billion and 800 kills exactly, with an efficiency over 87%. I'm pretty proud of our performance.
And also broke our top payout.
Yeah. Sora over here got the top payout. That's why he's on the contract here. I don't know, are you comfortable telling him how much you made working for us?
Well, on this count, I don't exactly remember, but somewhere around 350 million. Yeah, for 1 week of work, because I didn't participate in the first and second half.
That's ridiculous.
And for those of you out there that think that Noir is unattainable, remember, this guy started off in Noir Academy.
Which will be opening up again, probably, well, it depends on when this thing gets out there. It might be open right now, but you should come talk to us about it. Because if it isn't open right now, it will be soon. So you should get in on that if you're at all interested.
We can make a waiting list.
Yes, that's not difficult. You'll get to deal with Nidia. I think he was on the last podcast.
Rage. I don't know if that podcast got released because it was so outdated and we had trouble uploading it.
Yeah, it was podcast 9.
Plus it had Nidia, so you had to get...
Also, as a heads up for the aspirations for Noir Academy, Nidia will be really troublesome. He'll be part of the test. If you can handle him, you can handle everybody in Noir.
Yeah. Nidia has cost us so many members, oh my gosh. But it's alright, because he's pretty good at what he does. I don't really miss anybody that's left over.
Yeah, you can't say much bad about Nidia's flying or fitting or anything, except that, man, he can be annoying.
alright, Kat, why don't you talk about your first fight in Ishtar?
Oh, man. So, actually, today, we had a nice little rescue op for SI Radio. We were called upon to help and support against Rooks and Kings, which decided to harass their posse with a few caps and TC cruisers and works. But we basically showed up right after it came out of Reinforced, and they were shooting the posse, trying to get them down. And we came in and owned. That's all I can say. Stomped, pretty much. It was harsh, you know. It wasn't easy. but we had plenty of DPS, good E-War, good fleet overall. It was really, really nice. And yeah, my first time not in an Ares, oh my god. I'm usually in an Ares, but I decided, hey, we need DPS, so let me go ahead and try this Ishtar. I am in love. Let's see if maybe I can take it out for a few more contracts.
Yeah, anyone out there is thinking, oh, you know what? I need to find Planet Risk and go attack the guys that run the Planet Risk show. No, don't. They're rich. It's a bad idea. In fairness to Rooks and Kings, they were outnumbered like 5-1 between us and the other Fravers that the Planet Risk guys had called in. But even so, because if you guys aren't familiar with Planet Risk, it's a Class 6 wormhole. It's the best you can get with an anomaly that boosts capacitor regeneration and remote repair. So, I mean, these Rooks and Kings guys are experts at remote repair fighting. They had a whole cap warfare, remote armor repair network going on. It was crazy. There were Balgorns, Tech 3, Triage Carrier, a whole nine yards. So it was a pretty tough fight, even considering the numerical advantage because of the force multiplication effects of the wormhole. It took all the neuting and all the DPS we could muster to just crack that initial first ship. Once we started bringing them down, it got progressively easier. The only other thing I could say about that was there was a bit of... I got a name and shame here, although I know for a fact the guy doesn't have any shame. Kublai, the famous scammer, also known as Johnny101, was part of the Rooks and Kings gang. Apparently his corp joined them. And he self-destructed his triage carrier. And I think he had, about 50% structure left or something like that before we got him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got pretty close. I was upset about that.
Fail. So, I don't know. I couldn't say any other bad word about Rooks and Kings except for...
You guys should list off the ships that you killed and the ISK total that died.
Oh, yeah, I will say that's the other kind of cool thing about this. There was a lot of ISK on the line. More than I've seen, considering. So it was 8 kills. We killed 2 Balgorns, 2 Proteus, 2 Legions, a Megathron, and an Armageddon Navy, totaling 1.88 billion because of all their faction fittings and stuff. And the self-destructed carrier. So over 11 billion damage. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and thank Rooks and Kings for carrying all that awesome faction goodies in their cargo holds. It was awesome.
I don't understand that. Somebody explained to me that they use it to refit
Nothing
on the fly.
Nothing about that makes sense. I guess because they had the carrier there, maybe they were going to use it to refit, but really, that's expensive stuff to be carrying around with you.
Now, we're talking like 175 mil micro warp drives in cargo holds, which I don't quite understand. I guess maybe if they needed to swap it out, or they came from another fight, perhaps, and didn't have time to drop off loot.
Wasn't there a post there that they were, if they wanted to,
did they set up
fits, they could have done that?
I was going to say, did they maybe set up like a post, a staging area somewhere, and they were
Yeah, they had one.
Well, that's probably it, but still, why didn't you just drop your stuff off in a hangar there?
I don't know. Maybe it is the switching out on the fly thing. I don't know. I know they have a lot of unconventional tactics when it comes to cap warfare. Capital ship warfare, which I guess this sort of counts. There were multiple carriers in the field.
Maybe the adrenaline rush, thinking you have so much stuff in your hold.
I don't know, but it was fun. So, it was a very exciting fight. Thanks to Rooks and Kings. Thanks to CCRS for bringing what they brought. And, you know, it's kind of a bit of a shame. I think if Rooks and Kings had come on time, then they probably would have faced a gang about half the size. But they took so long that all this backup was able to arrive. And once, and we're talking like 20 Tech 3 ships and the CCRS gang, plus us, and we were fitted for ECM and neutralization. Between their DPS and our electronic and capacitor warfare, it was a tough fight, but it was a foregone conclusion. There's no way you could reasonably expect to survive against the neuting of like 20 different people, even with a capacitor regen in your thing. And they didn't have any other cap battery archons or cap battery Kaldari ones.
I may be wrong, but didn't Tulurate manage to jam that carrier in his Kitsune?
He did. Yeah.
One in 500 chance.
It's not that bad, is it? It's not the first time I've seen a Kitsune Jima carrier. When I was with Divine the Alliance with the Final Stand Corporation, we did a roam out in Geminate. Caught a carrier in the middle of nowhere, kind of similar to the Orca we were talking about in the previous segment. And Kitsune kept them like perma-jammed. No problem. I don't know if that was before the ECM nerf or not, but I think the point is they're pretty good chips. Everyone hates on the Kitsune. I love it.
Well, long-range jamming, it's nice. I think the only thing that can beat its range is a Scorpion, right?
Mm-hmm. Everyone's in love with the Falcon, though. Whatever. So, EVE news! There's been some big happenings in 00. We don't have time to talk about all of them, but we'll talk about a few of the biggins. First, IT Alliance, which is the old Bob Alliance plus all the former Greater Bob community groups in one roof. They have retaken Fountain, they kicked out Pandemic Legion, and then when Goonswarm forgot to pay their sovereignty bill, they retook everything. So Bob has all of its former holdings except for Period Basis, which are now occupied by people that are friendly with AAA but still have a good relationship with IT. So for all intents and purposes, Bob is back. And they're even like cutting ties with other alliances like old Bob. So we'll see what happens there. I have a feeling not much, at least for a while. I think the Northern Coalition is going to be the next one to go. But, I don't know. You guys might have a little more information than I do, but I doubt it.
Well, I'd say about with regards to the Northern Coalition, I mean, the big difference between them and, you know, Bob or Goons or even, you know, anyone else is that they're made up of so many varied, alliances that it's going to be really hard for them to just disappear all at once. You have to look at, even with mistakes, both of these two alliances disappeared because of mistakes more than anything else, so, you know.
But there's still that phenomenon of power blocks joining with other power blocks, like power blocks allying power blocks to go after like some kind of common foe, whether it was Bob after they lost their Sov, or whether it was Goons after they lost their Sov, or whoever. It just seems to be this trend that I notice. Maybe it's just taking advantage of weakness.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty natural in EVE. I mean, it's just as an example, when AAA was going after Goons, the CBA goes after their territory. So there's always going to be the case of going after weakness whenever you see it, you know? Gotta have the knife in hand, because you never know when the guy's going to turn around.
But I still think it's kind of like an angry villager thing going on, where everybody dogpiles on one big alliance. Everybody dogpiles on them.
We'll have to wait and see.
Indeed. And speaking of Goon disbanding, so if anyone ever sees me about to go on vacation for like 2 or 3 weeks and I don't appoint someone to manage the master wallet, do remind me. Because that's basically what happened to Goonswarm. They set up their alliance wallet so that only one person had access to like the big trust fund, and smaller amounts were given to the other directors. Except that their sovereignty payments were not paying out of the wallet that had the trust fund in it. So what happened was, because no one was paying attention to the wallet levels that weren't their own, I guess, the Sov bill time came up, they paid one system and none of the others. So they lost sovereignty, including all the benefits that sovereignty gives you, in such notable systems as their market hub, where they park their capital ships, the defended entrances to their regions that are within jump range of the other regions that surrounded them. And they lost it in a very public fashion. So as soon as that happened, AAA, the Southern Coalition, and IT just descended on them and devoured them. And now IT has all their space. Finally, their CEO came back, a guy named Cartoon, and he was like, oh, I don't have an alliance anymore. Well, I guess the alliance doesn't need the alliance wallet. Yoink. And I guess all the corporations don't need the alliance. Kick. So he has 1.5 trillion in assets, and Goon Fleet has no alliance anymore. They had to create their own. And now they're all fighting each other, and it's hilarious.
You know, I just find it hard to believe that the leader of Goon Swarm would scam, you know, anyone.
It's completely unprecedented.
I was to understand, actually, that they had, like, two or three directors that could have transferred the money over, but all of them were on vacation. Every single one of them was on vacation. It was just, no one could do it.
Ugh. And for an alliance that was famed for its incredible logistics ability, at least at the beginning, that's a pretty hardcore fail, gotta say.
You forgot to mention one other thing Cartoon did. Oh, shiny dreadnoughts.
Yeah. As Sora mentioned, there was a incident where he just started undocking dreadnoughts and suiciding them for the alliance insurance money, so he could steal more ISK and not have to move ships around. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, when you're to that level of ISK, why worry about moving ships around to sell them? Just blow them up. You might get less, but you're going to get it anyhow.
I guess when you're measuring even trillions, it's not that big of a deal. All right, Holland, you want to take the next item?
Sure. This kind of goes into the next item because the Providence War kind of started because of... Well, it's probably best to give you some background on this. You know, CVA and AAA have been neighbors for quite some time. And CVA and AAA aren't friendly. They do roaming gangs into each other's space a lot. But they haven't actually taken territory from each other. But apparently, CVA got pretty pissed off at AAA because AAA was very friendly with Ushra Khan, a group of people who are actual enemies of CVA and would like to take their space. So, because they were friendly with them and allowing them to have space in a place called Catch, CVA decided to invade Catch and kick out whoever. AAA, while allowing people to be in Catch, considered it kind of a buffer zone between it and other powers. And so, with CVA conquering the buffer zone, they considered it an attack on themselves, and then they fought back. But at the time, they were in the middle of a fight with goons. But as we just covered, goons went away. So CVA, we're not going to get into motives here because many people say CVA was in league with goons. You can't really tell. But regardless, CVA was left without any allies to fight against AAA, and AAA decided to invade. So far, I believe they took DG, 9U, and they're... I don't know if they're working on any more right now. By the time you get this podcast, it'll probably be a bigger news item on that. But as far as we know, they're working on DG and 9UY. And the idea is to install Ushra Khan basically back into Unity Station. And they've got Unity Station back. They hired Noir to kind of go against... the best way you can explain it is their civilian population. There's a lot of non-combatants in CVA space, you know, the ones that don't ever join up with the defense gangs. And so while AAA and Ushra Khan and others handled the takedown of the CVA cap fleet, which I believe there was like 130...
100 to nothing dreadnought and carrier kills.
It was like 130 capitals, because it's including carriers and dreadnoughts. About 130 capitals down. What was the total? It's like hundreds and hundreds of billions of ISK worth of damage against 15 ships lost for a total of 1 billion? 4 billion? Something like that?
Yeah.
It's an insanely... It's like 99% efficiency. It's an insane amount.
I believe it should be noted that AAA lost no caps. I'm pretty sure that's the case.
AAA lost no capital ships in the battle. It was a fairly heavy failure on CVA's part. So CVA was pretty much at that point out of the fight. I mean, you don't lose 130 capital ships without basically not being able to defend yourself for a few days. And so that's what happened. And basically, AAA has run roughshod right over CVA space, and CVA has put up no real defense since then. And Noir, as you heard earlier, did 800 kills of the civilian population and pretty much killed a number of constellations completely off. No traffic at all. I missed the first week of the contract, which sucked. By the second week, a lot of the areas had cleared out, and there wasn't much left. We did do a lot of damage over that period, but not as much as in that first week.
The first week was epic. Oh.
Yeah, first week was kind of nice, and I totally missed it.
The first room in. The first room in. Like 0100 on the start day. We roamed right into the Libertas Fidelitas constellations, came out with over 2 billion in damage in less than an hour. That's the kind of environment we were working with.
You know, I think, and this goes back to the contract, I think the best way to explain how awesome it was, while these guys were extracting, literally had like 5 jumps to go or something, they caught a Dramiel on the way out. I mean, there were still kills to be had there. That's just, that kind of covers the Providence War. It's still ongoing right now, and you'll probably know more about it later. But we can move right into Genos Ossidare. Joining Severance Alliance. Severance is a ally of CBA, and Genos, up till their joining Severance, were quite keen on killing everyone in Providence that they could. I'm thinking maybe that their mindset is, we like this as a killing ground, and we don't want it to go away, so we better do something about it. But basically they've been going after, I think, let's see here. I have a list.
Pretty much everybody, but is that not yeah. A fair characterization?
It's pretty much everyone, but they're going after SOT, Ushrakan, Star Fraction, AAA, Atlas, Systemic Chaos, and it. I mean, they're going after everyone they can find.
That's pretty much. It should be mentioned. That's pretty much the coalition that's attacking Providence right now.
Yeah.
I mean, not so much, but generally
right.
speaking.
It has to be included because they're not exactly friendly either, and their pilots have been doing roams inside Providence as well. I mean, they were doing it while we were on contract, so.
Yeah, we killed a few of them.
yeah, so. But that's the point. They're going after pretty much anyone that's taking advantage of the Providence situation right now, which is great, but, you know, they're not. They're having impact because Genos Ossidare are great pilots, but they're not having enough impact. There's too many enemies that they have to face. And we'll have to see how it goes.
Yep, and we'll be making a return engagement to Providence quite shortly. So maybe on the next podcast we'll have a follow-up on that.
That should be a lot of fun.
Ooh,
but
maybe.
Let's take a look at Hulkageddon now. Hulkageddon is run by a guy called Helicity Boson, and he's a member of Python Cartel. And he's run Hulkageddon before, and the last Hulkageddon was a great success. Everyone enjoyed it. But this time around, it was kicked up a notch. They managed to kill 1,200 Exhumers, 332 barges, 12 Orcas, 240 capsules, and a carrier, which doesn't really count in with the Hulkageddon concept, but since they killed it and it was mining, it's important. The Griefwatch Killboard undervalues Exhumers, but the total...
Wait. Did you say mining carrier?
Yeah.
Oy.
Yeah,
okay, continue. I just wanted to make sure I heard that right.
Yeah, Griefwatch undervalues Exhumers, but the total damage it gives is 278 billion damage. So it was quite a lot of dead stuff. There were prizes given out, totals on that I don't have, but the top three were the United, Final Agony, and the third place was my old corporation, actually, the Bastards, which is a pirate corporation. And it's good to see them doing well still. I was watching this not with a lot of attention, but I was so wanted to participate, but it requires a lot of suicide ganking, and we don't do that, so that's just the way it is.
Well, actually, I'd like to make two comments on this. First, you said that everybody enjoyed it. I'm quite certain the industrialists didn't. Also, you said that you were quite shocked, Alec, that there was a mining carrier. You should try and see Kriba mining in his Avatar Titan in a 0.4 system. That's
well,
even cooler.
I mean, Kriba is famous just because he does that. Like, I don't know of anyone else that would do that. The Veldatar.
I guess you can say that most of the I've seen a lot of comments from people who were victims of Hulkageddon going, well, you know, I should have known better. I mean, there were no rewards this time around for killing retrievers. So if you didn't want to die, you should put your Hulk away and pull out a retriever. Yeah, some retrievers were killed along with Hulks, usually in the same belt. Most of the time, if you were flying a retriever, no one was going to take the time to go after you because there's no rewards for it. Do that next time. That's all I got to say about it.
I'd like to add something in here. That whole concept of Hulkageddon, I really, really enjoy that. I started out pirating around shooting Hulks for fun, and I think the more often this happens, maybe the miners will finally get it into their heads. Hey, there's someone in system, I should probably get out. But no, they feel so safe sometimes that they're just easy targets.
They go AFK. That's the biggest
problem. They're like, oh, I'm in a space where people are going to protect me if someone comes around. It's not necessarily true. You know how easy it is to go in a belt and point you? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, like, would you play Sonic the Hedgehog while you're cooking? No. So why would you do it while you're playing Eve? It's a bad idea.
I mean, as a pirate, Katniss, you probably have seen this a number of times. It's not just high sec. People will go AFK in low sec in belts, and it boggles the mind. In expensive ships. I don't know why.
Oh, absolutely. I started out messing around in Amar low sec, and it just astounded me how many people would go AFK. So here I am, and I, you know, my little Vexer, a few months old, and hey, there's like a retriever, a hole. There's all these sort of mining vessels in low sec, and they see me, and they're just AFK. I don't get that whole concept. Yeah, it's, you can push buttons and leave, but if you're in low sec, wouldn't you want to at least be paying attention to local? That means if you appreciate your ship and all. I enjoy getting loot, you know, you put your dead space boosters on there, I'm all good taking those from you, it's okay.
I once, like, one of my very first kills, and it just amazed me that the guy did this. He went out in, what's the Minotaur hauler?
Hoarder?
The Reef?
A hoarder. He was in It was a wreath. Yes, it was the wreath. He went out in a wreath, put mining layers on it, went to a place called Eifer, which is point 4, and went AFK in a belt mining. It was hilarious.
Why would you do that? I have an image troll just for this particular instance. it's mind-boggling. I've gone AFK, logged in, okay. But I've never done it any place where I would reasonably expect to get shot, like at a gate or in a belt. It's ridiculous.
Hey, if you guys want to go AFK and you see me around, go, you know, just let me know what you're fitting, because you're going to die. It buffer up my killboard stats.
Fine.
I love
it. Yes, that's fine. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
I appreciate it.
But if you have a cloak and you go AFK, please use it.
Yes,
no,
or
please don't use it.
Please do not use it. Just
do not use it.
Turn it on, but don't make sure that it actually engages, and then just walk away from your computer like Lee.
yeah, or never check to make sure that you're actually docked. Just hit the dock button and assume you're okay. Walk away.
I agree. And also, it's a really good idea to disconnect while you're in warp bubbles.
Absolutely.
South African internet is that good.
Yeah, if you're in a warp disruption bubble, go ahead and control Q. We don't care.
Yeah. Hi, Nick. Toot Larry. Zitza.
All your pods are mine. Yes. Go ahead and log off while you're in that bubble. Yeah, your pod's mine.
Yes, yes. Yes. This is great advice. You guys should keep hold of it.
I think we need to make some advice dog motivators. Go old school on it.
We
all right.
Make an advice section from our personal experience.
No, no one would go. It's all bad ideas.
Yeah, we could do... You ever remember the Animaniacs? We could do good idea, bad idea.
Yes. Oh, I haven't watched the Animaniacs in so long. Gotta get back on that.
Yeah.
Can't say I was a fan. Sorry.
What? Ridiculous.
It was. Sorry. It made it look like a kid's cartoon, but my god, it was for adults.
I've seen it a few times. I'm more of a Tiny Toon Adventures kind of person.
Alright. That's respectful. Alright, let's move on to This Week in Mercs.
Yeah,
try
that
to
was
do Jimmer's
awesome.
Little
Do that again.
This Week in Mercs.
You won't have
yeah.
a future in opera.
This guy has a rainbow bandana, I'm telling you.
I do not, I've got the blood bend. The red one. The
you
red
remember
one.
You remember what color that is now, right? It's like I've got a red bandana, but I can't remember if that's Bloods or Crips. That's
I've got street cred, shush. Okay, so the big highlights, there's about three of them. Duty has joined Underworld Excavators, which makes WAC, at the moment of this podcast recording, the biggest non-privateer mercenary alliance. However, by the time this thing comes out, Noir Mercenary Group will probably have retaken that spot because Gemeinschaft Interstellar Soldener is joining us. So Gis and Noir will be flying together under the same banner, and Duty has joined Imperial Signal Corps and Maelstrom Crew to be flying under one banner. So there's two big semi-competing mercenary alliances right now. And that's a good thing.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but you said duty.
Rupella, edit this out.
No, this stays.
That's comedy gold. But this is very good. This is very good for the new entrants to the mercenary field. We've got the returning Underworld Protection Agency. They are back, Tigerfish Torpedoes crew. We've got the new groups, Quantum Cat Syndicate and their, quote, Mutual Defense Pact. It's kind of a weird group over there they've got going. Apparently, if you hire them, you get a whole bunch of other corps, but they won't tell you who, except Salty did research, and apparently that information is easy to come by, except that not all of the corps in their defense pact will participate in an offensive war. So they might or might not come. It's very confusing.
So they don't have the definition of defense pact totally screwed up then? Because
I don't know. I just report it. We report, you decide. Fair and balanced. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm sure they're fine pilots. It's just very confusing what exactly they bring to the table. There's Commonwealth Mercenaries and Schindler's Ignore List. I think these two are highlights for me because they have the actually good debut posts that actually have a kill board and a services list and, you know, that sort of thing. Give it a contact. You don't have to ask them to do it or ask them to put line breaks into their posts. Oy.
Meet my wall of text!
Hire my wall of text! Do it! And then there's Trisil Mercenaries. I don't know too much about them, but I saw them listed in the Merc Contracts channel, so welcome to them. And by the way, if you're interested in hiring us, you know, Underworld Excavators, any of the new groups that I just listed, join Merc Contracts channel. That's the best place to go if you do not want to get scammed. Scamming is illegal, the channel is moderated, it's very good. Finally, the long-awaited dramatic reading of my infamous conversation with Sick Boy.
Oh boy.
In which he tries to hire us for a second week in Pure Blind, and when I ask him to pay his bill, informs me that he will not do it, which constituted a breach of contract, which led to that whole Maru Cage Noir mercenary corporations from all over Eve decking Maru Cage thing. So, Hallen will be playing Sick Boy. And Katniss will be playing me. So this should be quite interesting. You guys ready?
Sure.
Kat?
I am ready.
One, two, three, go.
Mutiny, I mean.
Well, Northern Coalition has a lot of crappy pilots. They're all over the place, so
they just haven't been showing us a lot.
A campaign against them would be shooting fish in a barrel. So what are we talking about here?
Morse's got us really pissed at us the other day. 80-man fleet locked us down for hours.
I don't mind paying to kill Northern Coalition everywhere for a week, but what numbers are we talking about?
4.925 billion at the moment. Can round that out to even 4.9. We'll keep at it, though.
Total damage, right?
50% of the total.
You're trying to tell me 50% of damage is 4.9 billion, and it's not April Fool's?
Mail from Sick Boy on October 14, 2009. Well, there's a specific target. We want everyone killed in this system or surrounding systems. So when you're ready to start the campaign, have men move to X7, our home system. We basically want all kills done within two jumps. Next mail on October 14, 2009. Sounds like fun. 150 mil up front, 50% of the damage on completion. Default is a week. If we exceed your budget, let me know, and we'll end early.
You never mentioned anything to me about what my budget was or updated me on what the price was at. So you're saying total damage is 10 billion ISK right now?
Killboard is public. I assumed you kept tabs on it. It's close. We'll probably break it by the end of the night.
And you're expecting to be paid 5 billion ISK. That's really not reasonable at all. Or do we even have that much? Or even you better stop the campaign now, because that's insane. Our budget was 2 billion ISK. At most that we'd be able to pay you.
Would have liked to have known that ahead of time.
5 billion is not even, like, close.
Like, when you mailed me?
To as much as we have.
Okay, we'll suspend. We can work something out for you.
Yeah, I mean, we thought 2 billion would be way enough.
I'll get on vent with your directors and we can chat. One second. Morse's meaty score.
Four.
Ugh, got away. You guys have time for a voice chat?
Yeah, we were in fights too.
I'm really, really tired.
No, I mean, I really don't. I'm in convos all day. Let's just suspend for now. We'll give you what our alliance put aside for you, and we'll have to call it that. There's no more money, so there's not much more to discuss. The final stand at 1 billion a week.
I'll accept collateral.
No, we figured 2 billion would be enough. We don't have collateral. We're not rich.
Carrier or something?
We are not a rich alliance.
I'll give you a break. But over 50% unpaid is unacceptable.
We have... Well, I don't know what to tell you. That price is completely a disgrace. 6 billion for 1 week? It's like you're joking.
You agreed to it, dude.
Completely ridiculous.
You wanted to hire the best Merc Corp to come out and kick the shit out of this place. And I only charged you for what we did.
Well, I was trying to be nice. 6 billion ISK?
If I'd have known you had a 2-bill budget, I would have stopped.
That's insane. And that's for only...
It's not 6-bill.
For not even a full week? It's only Tuesday! And you're trying to rip us off is now pissing me off. So you guys might have just got a new contract. Please reset us immediately.
Calm down, dude. You don't want to go down that road.
Dude, we fought everyone, okay? We had Pandemic Legion in our system for 3 months. Your threats can kiss our ass. We've dealt with the worst. You're completely an ass. 6 billion? Insane. 2 billion? Was generous. And you threaten now? I thought you were better than that.
Not threatening you. You're overreacting.
Whatever, man. You've been reset.
You're the one who's scamming me.
Come at us. If you want. Oh yeah. I'm scamming you. Okay, yeah.
And that, everyone, is the official conversation of what happened between me and Sick Boy when he broke contract against Noir. Lawler cost. So, I hope you enjoyed that dramatic reading. Unfortunately, we have no more Jimmerlins to do these things, but maybe he'll be back someday. So, that's it for episode 11. Hopefully you'll be able to tune in sooner for the next one than the one before. We hope. This has been Alexei of Card.
Katniss with a K.
And Alan Turek.
And Sorakage.
Thanks for listening, guys.